This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Peaches is a Canadian electro-punk musician famed for her sexually explicit lyrics and the gender nonconformity of her performances. She's currently touring Australia as part of the Groove in the Moo lineup, with some cities lucky enough to get sideshow gigs as well. I saw her here in Melbourne for the first time last Friday night, and she was amazing. But I was also lucky enough to get to speak to her on the phone last week when she was in Western Australia. She's had a number of projects on the go recently, and I started by asking her what inspired her new book, What Else Is in the Teachers of Peaches?
Well, actually, it evolved. There's a photographer slash skateboard guy in Berlin. His name is Holger Talinsky, and he asked if he could, you know, document some of my shows, and it turned out that he was just a really nice, unobtrusive guy who, you know, took great pictures and didn't bother anybody. And slowly he just kept showing up at all the gigs and at my house and when I would go out, and kind of wormed his way in a really sympathetic worm into, you know, my life. And it lasted for 6 years through the whole I Feel Cream tour, which was my last album, through the making of a stage production I wrote and directed called Peaches Does Herself, which also turned into a movie, and a one-woman show that I was working on, which is just me singing the whole Jesus Christ Superstar called Peaches Christ Superstar. And just living life, and it was, you know, he just captured 6 years of what was going on. And also in that time, I worked a little bit with Yoko Ono during her 80th birthday. I sang in the Plastic Ono Band as the only special guest for her birthday, which was pretty thrilling. And then she did a festival called the Meltdown Festival, which is in London. And every year they pick an artist, and she was picked 1 year and had me doing like five different things. I did her cut piece, which is her it's her famous performance art, where she sits on the stage with a pair of scissors in a really great outfit, and then people from the audience can come and cut it off her. So she had me recreate that. And she writes about, and then Holger documented it, and she writes about that in the book. Also, Ellen Page writes in the book about when she was 16 and how I helped her, feel comfortable with who she was, and it's quite a great story. And Michael Stipe, also, who's seen all these different productions I've done because he spent a lot of time in Berlin, writes about his relationship between him and my art and me.
Well, that's a little bit overwhelming. There's so much to take in there. So, I mean, the book, it covers
the last 6 years, yeah.
Yeah, so there's, like, candid shots in there as well as your sort of professional work. Yeah,
it's funny because I think most people comment on they love the shot with me, you know, with my parents hanging out, you know. They're like, hey, you're with your family, that's so cool. So, and there's, like, you know, they're not made-up shots. They're not posed shots. So a lot of them are quite, you know, I'm just hanging out, looking like I look every day. So other performers were quite impressed that I would let a photographer do that. I think it's cool to show the you know, the public and the private person, and give people a chance to fuse them a little more, because sometimes I think it's really strange for people. Really? That person eats? That person is the toilet? You know, whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, as a, you know, fan, or just, you know, anybody who enjoys music or any kind of artist whatsoever, to get that sort of real version of someone,
exactly.
I think it is really important to be able to connect with people, so.
Yeah, I think it also helps you understand the art and the artist more. I mean, you can just, like, whatever your art is, whether you're hyper-reality or hyper-escapism or whatever, you know, where you come from and who you are is always going to help you figure out the art of that person.
You're Canadian, but you have been living in Berlin for some time, is that correct?
Yeah, I lived there for 15 years. Now I'm, I don't know how to say it, but I'm bi, but I also live in L.A. and I live in Berlin, so yeah, I'm living in both places.
Berlin, with its, you know, I mean, its culture, and it's got this kind of edgy, you know, just sort of cool vibe to it. It seems kind of like a perfect fit for you, or, you know, any kind of diverse artist, I would think.
Yeah, I think, you know, Berlin is always in a state of development, and me being there for 15 years, from like late 90s to now, has been quite a development for both of us. So.
You mentioned Ellen Page before, and she wrote in your book about, you know, you playing a part in her feeling comfortable being who she is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would expect that that's a story that you probably hear quite often from people, is it?
Yeah, I think it's great, because ultimately what I would like my work to do is to help people feel comfortable in who they are. There's no exclusion whatsoever. Some people find it maybe angry that I'm saying certain things about, and they find it gender twisting, but I'm just trying to be inclusive, to be honest. So I'm always happy when people can first dance and enjoy the music, and then, you know, get some, you know, something real out of it.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic to see someone who's not even pushing the boundaries, but, you know, just being themselves, and, you know, not feeling that need to conform the way that, you know, so many artists do these days. So that's certainly been, you know, part of your performance that I enjoy personally as well.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you've got a new album coming out later this year, your first studio album since 2009. You mentioned I Feel Cream before.
Mm-hmm.
The album is called Rub. What can we expect from that?
You know, it's very classic me. I call it my post-gender, post-ageist album, living in a world where that is all good and we're in the fourth dimension. But I think the production is fantastic without being overblown. It's quite direct as usual, and there's some awesome lyrics that I'm totally happy that I still got it.
And are you playing some of the new material on the tour this? Yeah, mm-hmm. How are people receiving the new music?
Oh, fits right in. They love it. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned before as well the rock opera that you did, Peaches Does Herself, which, and then you said that's turned into a film as well.
Yeah,
and people can actually check that out from your website, which is peachesrocks.com.
Yeah, you can also buy it on Vimeo too. And I love it. It's great.
What led to a rock opera?
Well, it's actually just this really progressive artistic director for a theater in Berlin. The theater is called the Hebel am Ufer, or HAU. And he asked me to do a production. And originally, actually, like 25 years ago, I wanted to be a theater director, and my goal was to make a really cool musical, not like a cheesy one, but a really cool one. And I went to theater school to become a director and did all that, and then I quickly realized I don't want to work with actors. I'm going to, you know, music is much more satisfying. I can be my own director. I can be my own performance artist. I can, you know, realize all those things on my own. And it's kind of just serendipitous that then this director asked me to do a production, and I was like, wait, I've just been doing 25 years of research on me for that musical that I wanted to make all that time ago. So I reconfigured for my four albums that I had made into a storyline that sort of tells a kind of half mythical biography of becoming Peaches.
Well, it sounds interesting, just like everything that you do.
Sounds interesting. It's quite exciting, and I mean, for me, it was so satisfying, and it was actually once the idea came, it really went rolling, just using the iconography that I've built up through the years and the messages and you know, just actually going over the top of the over-the-topness that I've done with my albums. So it was really exciting. And also, you know, I love a stage show, but doing it in a theater and having a run, you really get to, you know, dig deep into the stage show. So, and the cast, you know, I'm usually a one-woman show, so this was like 20 people in the cast.
Yeah. And this is the first time, like, you've done some, I think the last time you were in Australia was for the Big Day Out a few years ago, 2010 or 11 perhaps.
And then in 11 I was at the Falls and all those festivals.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've been touring more doing sort of DJ sets, and now you're just mm-hmm. getting back into performing your own music. Is that exciting, or is it?
Well, the DJ sets that I was doing were actually a development for this show, to be honest. I mean, people would ask me to DJ, and then I'd DJ, and they'd say, why don't you play your own songs? And I was so annoyed by people coming up to me, and then I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to fuse. And, I mean, DJing is really, it can be really fun, but you don't have to just DJ, and I actually find it more difficult to hold back than to do everything. So now I'm sort of mixing and singing and performing and doing everything, and I like it that way better.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.